listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today, Ron Chmielis, columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Welcome to you both.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
This week, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced he was rescinding an Obama-era policy about marijuana. That policy said the federal government would not stand in the way of states looking to legalize marijuana. Sessions says it will now be up to individual U.S. attorneys in states about how to enforce federal laws against pot. Officials in Massachusetts, where pot's legal and retail sales are set to begin this summer, came out against the move by Sessions. State marijuana regulators say they'll continue implementing the voter-approved law, and Jim Borgasani, with the group that fought hard for legalization, says he's concerned.
I'm worried that investors will look and say, I don't want to invest in a business that may be put out of business by the feds.
The new U.S. attorney in Massachusetts, Andrew Lelling, put out a statement that did not say what he would do about legal marijuana in the state, but did say marijuana is dangerous and illegal under federal law. Ron, Massachusetts lawmakers are hoping for a financial windfall from legal pot. Should they be worried?
I think they should be worried because I think this is a very uncertain situation. It's easy to look at a liberal state like Massachusetts, which voters did endorse this law, and say, well, nothing will really change here. But if it's up to individual prosecutors, it's up to individual opinion. I think there's reason to watch this closely. I doubt if it'll change much in Massachusetts, but I couldn't guarantee that.
Matt Lelling is a Trump administration appointee, but previously worked in the Massachusetts U.S. Attorney's Office for over a decade. Is this going to put him in a difficult position in a state that's heavily Democratic?
Well, I don't think we've seen any evidence from this administration that, you know, popular opinion is going to move them to do anything one way or the other. One thing I would say is that we should watch for is in the next couple of weeks is the appropriations bill for the federal government, because I read recently on the website Pope Hat, which is not a joke, it's a real website that does legal commentary, that there's actually a rider that's been on there for the last several years that prohibits enforcement of federal marijuana laws with regard to medical marijuana. Now, I know there's a difference recreationally, but I think that law's continued existence will make a difference in terms of whether or not prosecutors really bother to try to enforce marijuana law, even recreationally.
The electric company Eversource this week announced it would be cutting rates for Massachusetts customers. The reason? The utility will be paying less to the federal government under the recently approved changes to the tax laws. Eversource had been set to raise rates, but Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey pushed for the reduction in light of the tax cut. Meanwhile, Connecticut regulators are reviewing whether electric rates should drop due to the new law. Matt, should other state-regulated utilities follow suit?
Well, I think that if they don't, it's going to really undermine their case that the tax law had anything to do with their decision to lower rates. I think we should be reasonably skeptical about this, the way we've been skeptical about other business activities as a result of the tax cut. Many of these, you know, job creation claims were announced before the tax cut was even passed. And this is the case with the rates as well. I mean, Maura Healey was pushing hard against these rates beforehand, and it was just easier for them to drop it than possibly lose a rate setting lose at a rate setting hearing.
Ron, the new tax policy is unpopular with many who say it will mostly benefit the rich. Do you see lower utility bills changing some people's opinion?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I think people should take a more open mind about this. I'm trying to do that myself. I never promised to be an accountant. I know if you don't like Trump, it's instinctive not to like this tax bill. I've tried to read different things, but to answer your question, I'm sure it would affect some people's view, because when it hits your pocketbook, the first thing you think of is, how will this affect me? If it affects me well, it's a good bill. That's not a very patriotic attitude, but if the rates go down, I think it will help the public opinion about this.
But that's assuming that the public actually puts one and one together. I mean, not to, you know, disparage any of us here, but, you know, it's very possible that a large number of voters may never hear about this connection or know about it or think about it when voting time comes. So, you know, I mean, a large part of this bill's, you know, badness wasn't just that it was bad on policy, but it was really bad on selling.
Springfield Roman Catholic Bishop Mitchell Rosansky announced that Our Lady of the Rosary Parish in Springfield will close at the end of the month due to sagging attendance and finances. The church has been in operation for 100 years and is not the first to be shuttered recently. Ron, you wrote about this and about how when a church shuts down, some people abandon their faith. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, That's a good question. If you believe in the principles of your religion and your faith, and a church, it shouldn't depend on a building, a set of walls, a set of pipes. For many people, it does. It's a sense of community, a sense of belonging, and they feel abandoned by the church. I have some sympathy for the bishop on this. He didn't create this situation. He didn't create the bad image the Catholic Church has. He's walked into a difficult financial situation, and he's trying to patch it together, and people are offended by that. But I don't think it's his fault. I can understand why you have to close some churches, but people feel that they're losing their homes. And I have sympathy for that, too.
Matt, what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, Ron's right. There's been a lot of financial questions about the Diocese of Springfield for a long time. And some of those are not even directly related to the sex abuse scandal. It's a broader problem that probably goes back decades. I do think that it perhaps has a ripple effect in terms of the neighborhoods and communities that were built around these churches. I think you saw that very much in the Hungry Hill, historically the Irish section, or the not lace curtain Irish section, if you will, of Springfield, when Our Lady of Hope closed down. That was an epicenter of that community. But at the same time, that community had been spreading out from that area for a long time, and that was part of why the church closed.
And finally, we move on to the weather, the most recent winter storm. With it coming, you know, we learned about what sounds like a rather new and kind of scary description of a big snow event, bomb cyclone. It joins other old favorites such as nor'easter and blizzard, and some media outlets have even taken to naming these storms just like they do hurricanes. Matt, do we need new ways to say it's going to snow a lot?
Well, you do if you need to generate interest, bring eyeballs to the computer screen, and put people onto your channel on local weather and the Weather Channel. Absolutely. From a marketing perspective, it's a bull market.
Ron?
By any name, it rots. And there's another word I could use that I'm not going to use this time. No, I don't think we need it, but Matt's right. It's a marketing tool. It doesn't change how cold it is. It doesn't change how much snow we're going to get.
Ron Chmielis of the Springfield Republican newspaper and Matt Szafranski of Western Mass Politics and Insight, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.